Can you hear me? Noise? Oh, there we go. Right. This is exciting. Right. We're talking about prayer, healing, and wholeness. And my father's walking towards. Oh, thank you. You're a star. And we're going to be talking about both physical and kind of inner healing. And we're going to get quite deep. So there's your warning. But I just want to encourage you. My prayer as I'm talking today is that as I say words, which hopefully make sense, God's just going to start speaking to people and putting things on your hearts. And he's going to start moving because I really believe that he wants to bring freedom and healing and wholeness today. Oh, hello. So I just want to really encourage you to kind of go with that and to not let anything get in the way of that. This is a really safe space. So I'm going to pray to that effect and then we will get started. Lord God, I thank you that you're here. I thank you that you breathe your life into us. And so, God, would you open our hearts, would you open our ears to hear from you? Would you open our hands to receive what it is you have for us today? And would you bring your life and your hope to every part of us? Amen. Right, so before I get to the Bible passages, I thought I should probably share a little bit about my story of what God's done in my life, because A, I think testimony is important and powerful, and B, it kind of backs up some of the things I'm going to say. So I'm just about to turn 22, and when I was 14, I got sick, and I contracted something called ME, which is not a lot of fun, and it basically means you're exhausted all the time. And so I was quite mildly ill to begin with, just quite restricted, but I could still live life. And then things got worse, and I started having trouble with my breathing. And when I was 17, things kind of hit, took a really big dive, and it got to the point where I couldn't walk very far at all, and I could barely go a couple hours out of bed, which was fun. I ended up in a wheelchair, and then my breathing got even worse, and I couldn't eat and breathe at the same time, which the doctors did eventually manage to figure out. But I was very, very weak, and pretty much housebound, apart from a couple hours of school a week. And then when I was 19, still kind of in that place, God started telling me he was going to heal me, which is a very weird experience. But I kind of thought, okay. And then I went to New Wine, and I can't tell you how, but somehow I knew that while I was there, God was going to heal me, which is nice because I needed a bit of warning for that. And he kept talking to me actually about the passage about the woman reaching out for Jesus, and he just said, come spend time in my presence. And so I did that a lot that week, and then on the last day, Gabby was there, God healed me. And it was very weird and very normal at the same time, and the next day I was there, and I was pushing my empty wheelchair, and I was walking around, and for the first time since I could remember, I did not feel tired, and I didn't have anything dragging me down, and there I am. It takes a lot of jumps to get that picture. So I do believe that God heals today. I do believe that God does miracles today. And it's really nice when he does. Full disclosure, after that happened, after a couple months, we found out that there was another problem, and actually because of my breathing, my body had got quite screwed up. And so basically I'm now in lots of pain all the time, and my body is kind of hypersensitive. which is a whole different type of fun. God hasn't healed me of that one yet. We're still waiting for that. So that's kind of where I'm at. And that's a story that a lot of people know. But the story that I think less people know is what happened in parallel to that, which is obviously being ill to that level has an effect on your relationships. And I got to the point where I was pretty much housebound, apart from a couple of hours of school or doctor's visits. And so to maintain my relationships, I needed my friends to come and see me. And they didn't. And so I went through a really difficult time of being really ill, and I went through it from feeling completely alone. And it crushed me. My family were great, but they kind of have to be because they're your family. I remember feeling so unwanted and so rejected and so broken, and I'd lost every single one of my friendships apart from my long-distance ones, and I'd lost my church, and my grandfather passed away that year, and that was really difficult. And I'd lost everything I was good at doing, and all my hopes and plans for the future had just kind of gone. And it was a really dark time, and I just remember darkness, and I remember in the midst of the darkness there was this light that was God, and he just shone into the middle of everything, and he gave me the strength that I needed to get through every single day and every single night and then do it all over again. And so when I came to New Hope, I was a complete mess, and I couldn't look another human being in the eye, and I didn't remember how to talk to people who I didn't know because I'd been really hurt, and I had no self-confidence, and I had no confidence in other people. Relationships kind of seemed like a joke, and I was really hurting, and I didn't see that there was any way I was ever going to be whole again. And bit by bit, God just started coming and breathing his life back into that shell of a person. And I started smiling again. And I started laughing again. And then I stopped noticing that I was smiling and laughing. And I kind of got Christy back. And not only did I get Christy back, I got a new improved model, which was exciting. And so I think it probably took about 3 years, nearly 3 years, for me to get to the point where it didn't hurt anymore. But God did it. So I love this passage because he took something that was completely broken and he restored it. And so, yes, I believe that God heals us physically. But I also believe that God has the power to restore our hearts and our minds and our souls. That is where I'm coming from today. I've seen God heal. I've seen God not heal. I've seen loved ones die. I'm still waiting for healing. And I've also seen God reach out in the midst of brokenness. And I've seen God turn shattered pieces into something awesome. So that's kind of what God's done in my life. So I was thinking about this talk, and prayer, healing and wholeness, and healing is a difficult thing to talk about, because I think at some point we've all prayed for healing, or we've all prayed for some kind of miracle or God to intervene, and he hasn't done it, and it's kind of like pants. And then the Bible's got all these difficult phrases, like prayer is supposed to be powerful and effective, and if you ask for anything in my name, you'll receive it. And you're like, well, no, not really. And when we pray for people, or we're praying for healing for ourselves, should we expect to be healed? Because if we expect to be healed and God doesn't heal us, then we're just like devastated. But if we don't expect to be healed, then maybe we don't have enough faith. And so maybe it's our fault that we're not being healed. And it's just very confusing. And why doesn't God heal us if he can? And so I think we try and avoid it. I used to hate having prayer for healing. I used to get prayer after having prayer for healing. because I used to hate having prayer for healing. It's okay, God managed to heal me anyway. But I think today God's saying, okay, let's just put that to the side and let's bring it down to two very simple points. And I don't want to brag, but they do alliterate. So my first point is that God cares. And I think that we all know this on some level. And we all know that God loves us. But I kind of think that some of us feel like God kind of loves us because he's God and that's what he has to do. Or maybe we feel like we're just one person in however many billion people there are on the planet. And actually, maybe our problems aren't that big compared to, you know, what's going on in other countries. And maybe God has more important things to spend his time on. And that can kind of make us feel guilty or ungrateful if we pray about our problems. But when I look at how Jesus interacts with individuals on earth, I can see that that's just not the case. He cares for every single person he comes across. And this story of this woman is such a great example of that. So Jesus is on his way to heal a dying 12-year-old girl. That's kind of top priority right there. And this woman comes up to him and touches him. And he's on his way to do something really important and he stops. And why does he stop? Because he's already healed her. But he stops. And he stops because he cared so much about her as an individual. And he knew the brokenness that she was still carrying because her problem was more than just physical. This is a lady who had spent 12 years with internal bleeding. And back in the day, that would have made her unclean. So not only was she always unclean, but anyone she touched would have become unclean. So she spent her life isolated from other people and isolated from God because she can't go into the temple because she's unclean. And she's lived with shame. She's lived with disappointment, rejection, desperation, and hopelessness for 12 years. And Jesus knows. And so he stops, even though he's on his way to something that's more urgent, he stops. And he calls her to come to him. And he calls her daughter. He gives her a new identity. And he speaks truth and healing and peace into her. And he replaces her shame with his acceptance. And in the same way that God cared for that woman, God cares for you. And I just feel like some of you need to hear this. God picks you out of a crowd. He cares about you as an individual. And yes, he cares about our bodies, but he cares about your heart. And he calls you as his own. He calls you son or daughter. And he's never too busy for you. And actually, if it's important to you, it's important to him. And he knows our shame and our secrets and our struggle. And he's longing for us to come to him just as we are. So today I want to ask the question, what are those things that we're carrying in our hearts that are stopping us from living life in freedom and that get in the way with our relationship with other people and of our relationship with God. And what are those places today where we need God to bring his healing and his freedom and his truth? And I think when we go through difficult times, it leaves us broken. And I think if that brokenness doesn't get healed properly, it leaves us damaged on kind of a deep level. And when we face heartache and struggle and rejection, broken relationships, disappointment and failure, not only does it hurt us in the moment, but I think it leaves us believing things that just aren't true, and it leaves us feeling things that just aren't true about ourselves and about God. So I've put some of those up on the screen. Kind of hits home, doesn't it? I think we've all believed we're not good enough at some point. And I think when we go through difficult times, it can leave us believing, maybe not all of these all at once, but certainly just one of these. And it kind of leaves a stamp on our hearts. And I think most of us, we don't believe these things in our heads. And we know that they're not true, but we feel them. And that affects the way we live. And in my experience, there's nothing I can do to change the way I feel. I've tried. And it doesn't work. But God can. And God can bring his healing and his truth. And it takes an encounter with God to do it. Whether that's through the Bible or the Spirit or worship or prayer or whatever, it takes an encounter with God to change our hearts and to heal those broken areas. So let's ask him to show us where the enemy is lying to us. And let's reach out to him, laying those things before him and asking him to speak his truth, just like he did for this woman and just like he's done for me so many times, where guilt and lies are just washed away. I think another thing that stops us from living in freedom is fear. And fear has a way of keeping us down, of stopping us from living like God wants us to. And the thing about fear is that sometimes it's really obvious. So we're talking nightmares, panic attacks, anxiety. It's like, yep, I'm afraid. But sometimes it's a lot more subtle. And maybe we're afraid of rejection, or of not being good enough, or of getting hurt. Fear of death, fear of being out of control. And all of these things leave us striving to try and be in control of things, and it's exhausting. And sometimes I think we can let those things become part of our identity. And just a few examples that I've used in the past: I'm a worrier, I'm insecure, I'm a perfectionist, I'm a control freak. And all of those things were things that I believed about myself. Like, that was just how I had to live. I had to live constantly giving into those fears, constantly trying to control things, control the way people saw me, because I was terrified. I was terrified that someone was going to find out that I am not all that I'm cracked up to be, and I'm not perfect, and I'm not good enough. And I was terrified. And God just came, and he went, what? And it wasn't until God stepped into that fear and showed me that he was so much bigger that finally I realized that if I fold a piece of paper, it doesn't have to be correctly in the corners. Do you know what I mean? But it is kind of funny, but it's exhausting. It's exhausting living in fear, and it keeps us from living how we want to. I cannot love other people in the way that I'm supposed to love other people if I'm so scared of getting hurt. But we don't have to live with those things. We don't have to live with that fear, because God is bigger than that fear, and fear takes our eyes off of God and it puts them on ourselves. And that's a dangerous place for our eyes to be. And we start living in our own strength. And so we start striving. God doesn't want us to strive. We don't have to put up with the boundaries that fear creates for us. Jesus said he came to give us life to the full. And he calls us to hope and freedom and joy and peace. And when we're believing things that aren't true, and when we're living in fear, it steals those things from us. So let's just bring those things to God. And if you don't know how to do that, then I'd really encourage you to get some prayer. Can I just say we have an amazing prayer ministry team here at New Hope. Love you guys. So use them. And let's not just bring the big things to God. I think sometimes we kind of wait until we're desperate to ask for help. I think it's quite a British thing to do. But God cares about the small things. And he cares about us keeping our hearts healthy. So let's just bring everything to him, because he loves to help us. And he doesn't want to be your last resort. He wants to be your best friend. And sometimes I think it can be scary bringing our brokenness to God. And one of the reasons for that is because we feel ashamed. And maybe we feel like we shouldn't be feeling the way that we do. You know, why am I still struggling with the same thing? Or maybe if we're not managing to do life by ourselves, then we're letting God down somehow. And maybe the things that we're feeling, jealousy, anger, bitterness, we're just like, God doesn't want us to feel those. And so we pretend that we don't. That doesn't work. Sorry. And so we actually start trying to deal with those things ourselves. Which again is a bad place to be. And God's like, you can't. And I think sometimes we feel like we have to be all sorted out before we come to God. But he's like, no. Come to me just as you are, because only he can bring the healing and wholeness that we need. And notice in the story, Jesus doesn't condemn the woman. He doesn't say, why are you touching me? Now I'm unclean. But notice that his cleanness makes her clean. And his love breaks her shame. So we don't need to be ashamed to come before God in our brokenness. And another thing that gets in the way of us bringing our brokenness to God is fear. Again. Because it's terrifying, because coming to God and saying, I am broken, can you help me, means admitting that we're not okay. And it means coming face to face with those areas of our lives that I think we'd rather leave alone because they're too painful. It means coming face to face with our pain and those lies and our fear. And it's terrifying, because pain is a very scary thing. But the thing is that God doesn't ask us to face our pain alone. And has anyone seen Prince Caspian? Good movie. So there's this bit where there's this giant army and they're wearing scary masks. And it's this huge army and they're advancing towards a bridge. And on the other side of this bridge is Lucy, and she's like 12. And they kind of go, oh, okay. And Lucy just kind of smiles, and she whips out her dagger. And she's just there smiling in the face of this gigantic army. And then you see why she's smiling. Because Aslan walks up behind her. And spoiler alert, he's awesome, and he wins. And Lucy doesn't even have to fight. But the point is that God is so much bigger than our pain. And I'm not trying to belittle what you've been through, what you're going through. Pain is hard, but God is so much bigger. And he never asks us to face up to our brokenness alone. He's there with us, helping us along. And he never leaves us more broken than when he finds us. We don't have to be afraid of our pain, because God is the healer, and he is kind and compassionate, and he can provide the comfort and the healing that we need. And that leads me on to my next point, which is that God can, and that nothing is impossible for him. And I love this story in Ezekiel. It's one of my favorite passages. And I love Ezekiel's response to God's question. God says to Ezekiel, can can these bones live again? And can we just take a moment to realise that the answer to that question is no, they can't. Because, you see, they're dead. And they're not freshly dead bones. This isn't just a simple kind of resurrection job. There is no life here. And they can't. This is complete desolation. But Ezekiel doesn't say no. He says, Sovereign Lord, you alone know if these bones can live again. And in doing so, he's saying, God, how do you see this situation? It's not important what I see, how do you see? It's like the song, give me vision to see things like you do. And God looks at dry bones and he sees an army. And God looks at a dead 12-year-old girl and complete grief, and these lives have just been destroyed. And who sees a girl who's sleeping? When we see things the way that God sees them, it gives us faith. It gives us faith to pray big prayers. It gives us faith to pray that Gabby will be at his daughter's dedication on Sunday, even though he's being diagnosed with pneumonia in hospital on Friday. Like, when we see with God's vision, it gives us faith to pray for miracles. Because nothing is impossible for God, and there is no such thing as too far gone or too broken. There is no situation too broken. There is no life too broken. There is no nation that is too broken or messed up for God to heal and redeem. And I don't know what your impossible is. For me, this is a true story. I remember having a conversation with a friend about a month into the hardest year of my life. And I said to her, this is before I'd seen kind of half the brokenness that was going to come. And I said, there is no way I'm ever going to be able to lead worship again. Because I was so broken. I said, there is no way I'm going to be able to get up in front of a group of people and share about Jesus. Because I was so broken and I could not make myself that vulnerable. Can we just take a minute to notice that God is a God of miracles? And I don't know what your impossible is. Maybe it's feeling like the past has a hold on you. Maybe it's feeling like you can never properly trust someone again. Or maybe it's God can't use me because ... Let me just tell you, God is so much bigger than your ... And God can use us in our brokenness. But if God needs to heal you in order to use you, he can do that too. And your brokenness and your struggle does not discount you from God's plans for you or his ability to use you for his kingdom. In fact, more often than not, it's our brokenness and our struggle that sets us apart for God's plans for us and for him to be able to use us. And that's really exciting. We don't have to be defined by our past. We don't have to be defined by our struggle because Christ has set us free. And he heals and he redeems and he restores and he makes all things new, and nothing is impossible for him. Amen? I just want to quickly come back to this idea of physical healing. And I just want to point out as well that God says, can these bones live again? And Ezekiel doesn't say, yes, of course they can, and start commanding them like some kind of faith-filled superstar. He says, only you know. And he's saying, God, what do you want to do? Because sometimes God doesn't heal. And that's hard. And I think it's such an important part of our prayer for healing. And yes, let's pour out our hearts to God. Let's ask him to intervene. Let's bring our brokenness to him. But the best example I can find of that in the Bible is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he doesn't end there. He ends with saying, not my will, but yours be done. You see, prayer isn't about us changing God's mind. It's not if we say the right words, God will suddenly decide it's okay to heal us and he'll step in. It's about encountering him. It's about bringing our hearts to him openly and honestly. But it's also about him changing us and aligning our will to his, showing us what he wants to do and letting us be a part of making that happen. Co-creation, right, Neil? And I used to really struggle with the fact that God could heal me. Oh, it's hard. If God wants to, he can heal me. And my life was falling apart. And God could stop it. And what do you do with that? You know, am I praying wrong? Has God just kind of forgotten? Or is he not able to heal me? And over the years, God has just shown me that actually the fact that he can heal me if he wants to is amazing. It means that if I've come before God and I've reached out for his presence and his healing, if I've surrendered my circumstances to him and he hasn't healed me, then there must be a purpose to my pain beyond what I can see. And just like it's not impossible for God to heal me right now, if he wants to, boom. It's not impossible for God to use my pain, to use my struggle in a way that is more beautiful than I can imagine and is far greater in the long run, in the scope of eternity, than it would have been if God had healed me right now. And that's hard, but it's true, and it's flipping amazing. Thank you, Emma. And sometimes, you know, I'm in the wrong place. I never want to be so busy asking God for what I want him to do in my life that I miss out on what he wants to do in my life. And sometimes he chooses to work through our pain. And sometimes he allows us to be broken so that he can teach us and mold us and give us a hope that goes far beyond any circumstances. And when we receive that hope from him, we become a vessel of that hope and healing into a broken and hurting world. And it's beautiful. And that that doesn't mean that things become easy. It's not like God is using my pain, therefore it's okay. Yay! It's still hard. It's still really hard. But the thing is, we don't have to be defeated. And God has kind of been blowing my mind with this. I think when life gets difficult, we tend to do this. Okay, bear with me. We tend to go like that. And we go head down, arms up. And we go into self-protection mode. And we go into, I can do this. Everything is fine. I'm okay. Keep calm and carry on. And we start to try and protect ourselves. And we reach out for control and comfort anywhere we can find it. And sometimes that can be really unhealthy. And it's exhausting. And you know what the problem with this position is? Sorry, Steve. Is that our heads are down. And so all we can see is our own brokenness. And our fists are up because we're trying to keep safe. We don't want to feel the pain. We're trying to protect ourselves. So we shut other people out and we shut God out. And we go into, I can handle this. And it's exhausting. It's so exhausting, constantly looking for comfort and control. But do you know what happens when we bring our brokenness to God and we pour out our hearts to him? What happens is we start to lift our gaze. And we lift our gaze to the God who is our source of hope and strength and love. And when our head's down here, it's easy for the enemy to lie to us. It's easy for us to be afraid. But when our eyes are up, we can see God. We can see that it's not all about us. We can see that actually he's still good and he still loves us. And when, after doing that, we say, okay, God, not my will, but yours be done, we start to let go of our need for control. And we start to let go of our need to be okay. And so we stand still broken, still in the midst of difficult times, but we stand free. And we stand open to receive from God in the midst of the pain. And we are open to receive his love, his joy, his hope and peace that are deeper than our circumstances. And we're open to what God wants to do in us and what God wants to do through us. We don't have to put our life on hold because of our struggles. When we're open to receive from God, he might withhold a miracle for reasons we don't understand, but he never withholds his love and his strength and his comfort. He will always bring us through. And it doesn't make the pain go away, but it means that we can find that God gives life in the midst of the wilderness. And it means we can stand free, unchained by fear and by lies, as more than conquerors. And yes, we may have scars, but Jesus had scars, and his scars were powerful. And when we give our brokenness to him, our scars look like this. Because God steps into our brokenness. And the best example of that is the cross. And in fact, the biggest demonstration that God cares and that God can do anything is the cross and the empty grave. Because Jesus has already done the biggest miracle of all, in that he took us when we were dead in our sins and he's made us alive in Christ. He took us when we were separated from him. And by withholding a miracle from his son, God made a way for us to be with him from eternity. And when we look at those lies that we talked about earlier in the light of the cross, we see that they're not true. Because we can't not be good enough if God has already declared that we're worth dying for. We can't be in despair because we have a hope, because Jesus blooming rose from the dead. Because that tells us that nothing is impossible for God. We aren't in shame anymore. We are forgiven because the Son of God came and died for us. We don't need to be victims because Jesus won the victory for us. And we don't need to be afraid of anything because one day our healing will be complete and we'll stand face to face with him. And so let's live in that freedom. Let's come to him and bring to him our circumstances, our brokenness that we're holding inside, our fear and our shame, knowing that he cares for us and knowing that nothing is impossible for him. Amen.
Thanks, Christy. We're going to just take a few minutes in quiet.